John 12, from verse 12 to verse 16. Jesus entering Jerusalem, riding on the young donkey, the colt, the young donkey, and the reaction of the crowd to his entry into Jerusalem. You remember, a great crowd of Jews have gone to Bethany to see him and to see Lazarus, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. Now, in verse 12, a great crowd from Jerusalem have gone out to meet him coming in to Jerusalem. So these two crowds combine together, the crowd from Bethany and the crowd from Jerusalem. And the atmosphere is at fever pitch. Chapter 11, verse 56, they kept looking for Jesus. And as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all? Is he coming here? Will he come to the feast?" And the news had gone around like wildfire. He's on his way. He's coming in from Bethany. And these great crowds merged together. And as they enter into Jerusalem, as they approach Jerusalem, they take palm trees and branches from the palm trees and go out to meet Christ, and they shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which is literally "save, God save." It's an exclamation of praise, looking to God to save. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Remember, this is the feast of Passover. Do not miss what's going on here. This is the feast of Passover. Here are the Jews celebrating the entry of their king, the king of Israel, riding on this donkey's colt, entering into Jerusalem. This is not just three cheers for this man. This is not hooray. The Passover connection. The nearest I can get is 1945 in May in London. VE Day, Victory in Europe Day. The fall of Nazi Germany. The end of the Second World War. And the 2 days of massive celebration. The seething, heaving mobs, crowds gathered together. The king and his family and the prime minister on the balcony at Buckingham Palace. It was that kind of atmosphere. And it was all connected too with the Exodus under Moses of the Jews from Egypt. Here we have the celebration of Christ and his glory. If you go back to chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, you will see the explanation. The Jews really looked upon this man on this donkey's colt. They looked upon him as the deliverer, the military, political king, to emancipate them from the dominion of imperial Rome, and to restore the Davidic kingdom in all its extent and in all its glory. Luke 24, even the disciple says, we had thought that at this time he would do this and that and the other. Luke 24, verse 21. We had thought that he would restore, redeem, deliver Israel at this time. That is what even his disciples thought. So you can guess what the crowd, we don't have to guess. You can appreciate what the crowd were thinking. Of course, verse 16 tells us what was going on and what was not going on. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. As I say, they thought in political terms. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. It was only after his death, his resurrection, and above all, Pentecost, when the Spirit was given to glorify Christ. John chapter 7, verse 39. It was only then that they realized what they had done, that they had fulfilled Zechariah 9:9, that they had been saying Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26, that they had been exalting Christ as King. But after the gift of the Spirit, they realized it was a spiritual kingdom, that Jesus is a spiritual king. Acts 2:36. Peter can declare on the day of Pentecost, God has made him both Lord and Christ. But it's nothing to do with deliverance from the imperial Rome. It's deliverance from sin and damnation. And it's a spiritual kingdom over a spiritual people. This is the entry of Christ into his coronation. But of course, that coronation will be through the trial, so-called. Through the betrayal, denial, the desertion, the crucifixion, the burial in another man's tomb, and then the resurrection, and then the ascension, and then the bestowal and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then we shall see King Jesus. But here, in ignorance, the crowds, for wrong reasons, the crowds, even the disciples not understanding it, are really laying down the marker. Here is King Jesus. But what a kingdom, and what a king. How very, very different to the kings of this world. Of course, I'm an Englishman, so let me give you my example. Those of you in America can think of the inauguration of the president. Those under dictators in other parts of the world can think of the way they run their affairs. But I'm old enough to remember the coronation of Queen Elizabeth in 1953. The Duke of Norfolk had spent months in detailed planning. TV was in its infancy in those days. What it will be next time? Well, we see state occasions now. The route is crowded and thronged with the mobs. The soldiers are all there in all their colours and weaponry. The marches, the golden chariots, the carriages that they come in, the coaches drawn by horses, all the finery, the robes, the crowns, the coronets, all the paraphernalia, the television cameras, the commentators, all orchestrated. Magnificent buildings and colours and noise and trumpets and fanfares and what have you. Do you see how upside down the thing is? Queen Elizabeth, yes, she is the Queen, but she is not a patch on King Jesus. The President of the United States, the dictator of China, of any African country. These dictators are nothing compared to Christ. Muhammad, the great gurus, the great atheistical professors and philosophers and teachers, all pale into insignificance compared to King Jesus. But look at the finery in the academic world, in the military world, in the monarchies, in the republics. See it all, how upside down it all is. The real king comes in on a donkey. The real king is going to a cross. The real king is worshipped in ignorance. It's all at the end of their nose, but they can't see beyond the end of their nose. They are welcoming the greatest king of all, the king of Israel, the king of all his people. Believer, Jesus is our King. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. It's an upside-down kingdom compared to the kingdoms of this world. But the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Unbeliever, if you will listen to me, if you will heed my word, you will say to Jesus Christ, even now as I speak to you, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. King, King of my life. I'll close with a hymn by Thomas Kelly. May this encourage every believer. May it challenge and convict and convert every unbeliever who listens to me. It's addressed to Christ. 'Tis to thee we owe allegiance, God our Saviour and our King. May we render true obedience, every day our tribute bring. And with rapture, of thy love and glory sing. May we bow to thy dominion, yielding to thy righteous sway. Careless of the world's opinion, may we all thy will obey. Saviour, lead us, lead us in the perfect way. Thine is greatness, never wasting. High thou art, with glory crowned. Thine a kingdom everlasting, grace and truth thy throne surround. While all others vanish, and no more are found. Happy they whom thou dost govern, great their peace, their honour great. Thee beholding, thee their sovereign, thee enthroned in royal state. Happy people, who before thee ever wait. So wrote Thomas Kelly. May I suggest an improvement? He wrote it in the plural. May I suggest the singular? 'Tis to thee I owe allegiance, God my Saviour and my King. May I render true obedience, every day my tribute bring, and with rapture, of thy love and glory sing. May I bow to thy dominion, yielding to thy righteous sway. Careless of the world's opinion, may I all thy will obey. Saviour, lead me. Lead me in the perfect way. And one final improvement. You'll notice Kelly wrote it as a prayer. I urge you, my friend, turn it into profession. Jesus, I do give you my allegiance. You are my Saviour and my King. I bow my will, my mind, my heart. I submit to you. I trust you. I obey you. I love you. I serve you. I honour you. I worship you as my Saviour and my King. I will render true obedience. Every day I will my tribute bring. I will sing of your love and glory. I will bow to your dominion. I now do bow to it. I do yield to your righteous way. Careless of the world's opinion, I will all your will obey. We will look to the Saviour to lead you in the perfect way. Then you'll be one of these happy people who know King Jesus as your King, your Lord, and your Saviour. I appeal to you. Receive him as your King and your Saviour now.